The grace of God and peace, let it be increased in our midst and strengthened in our hearts. Through knowing our Lord Jesus Christ, many service guests in the midst of their lives have left prayers in behalf of themselves and their relations. Let us quieten to pray in behalf of these who have asked and together with them. O holy God, dear Heavenly Father, we bring before you all those close ones who ask for strength to journey as children unto the end so they can reach the destination of the glorious heaven. Hear you the prayer of this young one so that he could live the rest of his life in thy kingdom. Give a mother under great sorrow, give her strength and let her feel your merciful presence. God, many ask for the gift of faith for their close ones and that you, God, would protect them and their close ones in faith. Hear you the prayers of parents in behalf of families and on the behalf of others, and the prayers of their children in behalf of others. Give patience and help unto a sister who asks for a prayer in behalf of her spouse. Also for brothers who ask for prayers in behalf for family members and other close ones, that they would receive believing friends. Hear, Father, the prayer of a sister, the prayer of a young one and her close ones. God, let thy will, thy holy will, be done. Hear also one who has received the grace of repentance and rejoicing of thy graciousness, a prayer for her unbelieving self and for also for her unbelieving family and also for herself. Life tries thy children in many different ways. O Father, thou seest all. You see the sister who has heavy sorrows because of a spouse that has slept away. Give her your strength and comfort. You also see that mother who feels distress of a child who has rapidly become ill. Let the child come into thy gracious light. O gracious God, help your children in their trials. Free them from depression and distress. Turn all things unto better. Bring thy help into the homes where family relations have been broken and families are breaking apart, that the spouses would receive understanding and the children would also feel the comfort of a home, and that the grandparents could enjoy of this togetherness with the children and their families. Open, God, thy wisdom in behalf of a sister and brother who have misunderstandings so they would be able to fix them. Help, God, those who are alone, for them to find a friend to travel with them, and for one who prays for a spouse. God, we yet ask, hear the prayers of a mother in behalf of her adult daughter so that she would receive the grace of repentance and would be freed from addictions. Leave here the prayer of a youth that his close ones would be freed from alcoholism. Hear that prayer of a youth when he asks that you, God, would open unto him the right way in her understanding of her sexual direction, and that would protect her as thy child. God, Heavenly Father, we wish to bring you also those prayers in behalf of those who pray for blessings for your people and peace for all the world. Let thy word be heard in those peoples who have not heard of, who do not know you yet. Pray in behalf of our church, in behalf of our bishops. God, hear the prayer of your friend. For the prayers in behalf of his friend who has been sent away from this country so he would be able to return, God, we leave ourselves, one another, and our whole life. All these prayers in behalf, all these relations, these close ones, we leave in thy care. God, bless with thy grace. Carry in thy hands. Press against thy heart. Amen. One of the texts that have been marked for this day is the letter to the Romans in chapter 14. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Amen. In this text, and even more broadly, in this letter to the Romans, chapter 14 fits very good for this day that was given to have mercy. The message of Paul in this chapter is this: because God is good unto you and gracious, then let you also be good and gracious to one another, to unto all people, to live in that hope, in that freedom, and in that braveness of life, which from the grace of God and from his grace, not only yourselves, but one another, for one another and before all, live for Christ. as his own, together with him, united with him, believing in him, taking comfort from him, and taking root in him. These verses here of Paul naturally they open up two questions, two opposites, two directions of life: living for thyself, living for your own self, and living for the Lord, living as one as the Lord, living beneath the face of God. And if God so wishes, these two directions of life we will study. We have a good feeling and understanding about living for yourself, what it could mean, that if you live only for thyself, if spouses would live only for themselves, they grow apart from one another, they would not notice one another. If parents live for themselves, the needs of the children would be forgotten, or in our work life, if someone lives only for themselves and tries to fly solo, before long, many conflicts would arise. Or even in politics, members of the society, that you live only for your own group, your own political viewpoint, there would be no right way. Or if friend relations or relations amongst people, you live only for yourself, then you wouldn't be equal in meeting equally one another. Or if we think of sports, tonight will be played the last game of the European matches. It's going to be a hard game tonight. If the players would play only for themselves, try to win themselves, and would not give the ball to others, then the other players would surely be amazed. How important it is to learn to live life for others and to listen what the other thinks and what the other feels, experiences. If man lives for himself alone, is drawn into a cocoon around himself, then you will grow away from God, grow away from your close ones, grow away from this creation. I have sometimes tried to my confirmation class to speak of this truthfulness, that this would be a kind of mind towards God and life, an EVVP, which means I couldn't care less. We wouldn't need any lists of sin. They can be torn. This is growing away. Drying into a cocoon in yourself, breaking away from unitedness. When you cocoon into yourselves, you have no strength to look at the goodness of God, and your close ones are forgotten. Before God, man would live for themselves and try to be good before God and to build your own road. I would guess that many service guests and listeners of the word have read the book of Alexis Kivi, The Seven Brothers. The Finnish language of Alexis Kivi is so rich and beautiful and colorful that you can feel great happiness. Many parts of the book are very tasteful. In the beginning of the book, it tells how the brothers of Jukola had a bad fight with the boys of Toukola. The Jukola brothers became surprised, or were surprised, and were quite beaten and received quite a beating. But the boys of Toukola also received their own. It explains how Eino and Aasikki carried those who had fainted away. After that fight, the brothers take care of their wounds, warm the sauna, eat, sleep through the night, and the next day began to think and go through that what really happened. First, they want to get their own back, but then they also begin to feel a bit of sin. And the brother John, the eldest, in his strength, begins to speak. He speaks in this way that sometimes it's good to shut thy eyes and to not see what you see and not know what you know. And if one wishes to go through life with a good skin, this is the way he should be. And then John begins to think a bit later in front of man and in front of God. We should try to stay away from bad sins and to pray for oil for our eyes. But those small sins against God, we won't count in our conscience, but we will be there in the middle. We will travel the middle road. This is how John pictures to himself before God. And this is what he decided, to travel in the middle road. And then Apo began to rebuke him that we cannot do this in front of God, and we can't in front of our mother in these matters of faith. man in nature tries to get the better of God. But the gospel, this tidings of joy, opens another road. The gospel opens a new world, a world of grace, a world of gifts of God. For the gift of the gospel, comfort and joy, is there that Christ is the way, truth and life. And what got Paul to speak here of life itself, of living the life for yourself? Paul writes to their congregation. Paul is about to travel to Rome. And in this letter, he introduces himself and asks for support from the Christians of Rome when he is planning this journey, mission journey into Spain. Paul introduces himself in this letter. This letter to the Romans is the most important in the world history. Its main tidings, main message is very important today, that the gospel is the strength of God for one who believes for his salvation, and that man is saved through faith in Christ, not doing the works of the law. And in Christ, man is freed from the death of sin and from under the law. He is freed to come by coming into this Christ. And man in Christ is freed to live in faith, in believing in Christ, and according to the wish of God. In the chapter 14 of the letter to the Romans, as in other places of this letter, it is projected how there were some difficulties in this congregation between the Jew Christians and the Gentile Christians. There was a large question and something to discuss. In this letter to the Romans in chapter 14 is a question of things thought up by man, ways of relating, in the beginning of this chapter. It comes out that there were Christians in the congregation of Rome. Who kept one day more valuable than another day, and to others, while all the days were the same. The Jewish Christians' Sabbath was a day before all, and to the others, all the days were the same. The other Christians with good conscience ate all kinds of food, ate meat, and the others ate herbs because they if that meat that they ate would have been sacrificed to an un-god, they would have a bad conscience. These matters are habits of faith, different things you are used to. Many of these are things you have learned to do, outside habits, signs, and they are according to time and place and culture. They are bound to these. These different habits, which are inherited, they are not questions of salvation. They are not the way you become saved or measurements of faith, and they should not become so either. That thought may be close to mind, that a tighter way of thinking would be better, more strong, or even more according to the Bible. According to Paul, it is not so. Paul himself was free. He was free. And Paul hoped that all would understand that freedom which Christ Jesus has given as a gift and has atoned but Paul thought it was important that we would honor one another, we would love one another, relate with love, a loving mind to others who think in a different way, to pay attention to one another. This was a very important matter. In chapter 15 of this letter to the Romans, he says in this way, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification." Paul gives two ideas of advice: the weak, who is more tighter bound to these habits, to these traditions, that he should not be judged. The strong should not judge the other. Or think that one way of belief is better than the other. To not be proud or to pay less esteem to the one who is weaker in these. Judging another is not good for that reason, that It is putting one in the place of God. One has to stand before God one day, judging, and grace belongs to heaven. People can only see the outside, but God can see into the heart. Paul here brings forth, how can thou judge against thy brother? We all shall stand one day before God, before his judgment seat. These rules of tradition have also left their marks in the books of our church. There it is spoken. That these rules will make light of the gift of faith if we should think that following these or being obedient to these, that we would be kept in faith or that we would be acceptable before God. There is much good and much to build and to support life in these traditions, but if these habits, these things we are used to, if they become the law and they have to be done, then they easily become those rules of tradition which make it hard. In chapter 12, Paul here speaks in this way. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Faith in Christ never calls us to be tight or demanding. No. It calls us to freedom and peace and joy. It invites us to live in that freedom which Christ our Savior has won for us. When God affects in our hearts the gift of faith, he also affects in freedom, peace, and joy. And God affects and gives us a new mind and heart, such a mind that can freely and joyfully and without demanding, ask, seeking the mind of Christ, of God, and the wish of God, searching and praying for that. What is the will of God in my life? The grace of God, it lifts and carries. It brings comfort and joy. And the grace of God it does not lead us to irresponsibility or a who cares attitude, but this grace of God leads and encourages into renewing our minds. The grace of God calls and encourages into the word of love, into the love of the word of God. The grace of God calls and encourages to seek the face of Christ, to seek the mind of Christ, to ask, what is the will of God? It was pointed out that man many times looks at the outside things. God looks at the heart. You can be careful at yourself or at others that you don't touch or don't taste, don't affect. But at the same time, in your heart, there may be a hard and loveless, a proud, selfish, may speak bad of others, and so forth. This is how we people are. This is living for oneself, which makes cheap towards others, judges others. You set yourselves above the others. Or to think the way the other lives or believes is not as good as the way you do. Set yourself above him. It is easy to join together in thinking that we are saved through Christ. But how about when, in the times of the Romans, how one day is not as important as the other, and to others, one day is more important? In our own times, these examples are different as they are in different times. Even then, these differences, these opinions, truths of life, was this matter the same, that living for oneself, living alone for Christ? Beloved friends, now we come to this other main point, living for the Lord, the opposite of this selfishness. Paul puts this living for the Lord, living as one of the Lord's. In the midst of these everyday things, Paul yet again returns to the main thing, the Son of God. The Son of God teaches us something very wonderful and comforting. What Christ is and what faith in Christ means. Paul speaks that faith in Christ is not doing or not doing something. It is being a portion of living for the Lord, living a life for the Lord. It is accepting these gifts of God. When we people tend to classify Paul here reminds us of this, that Christ has come on the behalf of all, of every man, for the whole world. He has not come for himself, or did not live his life for himself, but he came because of us, you and I. He came here into this world, left that glorious heaven, became in our midst, healed the ill, helped people proclaimed his good tidings of God. He showed us the hardness of our hearts. He atoned for our sins on the middle cross of Golgotha. And resurrected, he is yet in the midst of his congregation, blessing, forgiving sins, and giving us gift of joy and hope. Hope and comfort, beloved friends, is there that Christ wins the heart of man. He's cocooning into himself his bitterness, his selfishness. Christ wins the heart of man from becoming strange. And how does Christ do this? How does he win these? He does it by forgiving sins and coming to dwell in our hearts. Christ's death on the Holy Cross and his arising into heaven, forgiving our sins, he looks at us with merciful eyes, looks at us proudly, graciously. This is the grace of God. But God has also given us Christ as a gift. Christ is a gift of God, not only grace and the forgiveness of sins, but he is a gift of God. It means that Christ, through faith, lives and dwells and is present in our hearts. Our selfish selves is no longer our center part, but Christ. Paul here speaks in the letter to the Galatians in that way, that no longer do I live, but Christ lives in me. That life that I live in this body, I live believing in the Son of Christ, who loved me and gave his life in my behalf. Faith is a gift of God. It is the work of Christ in man. Martin Luther pictures this gift so beautifully in this way. In faith itself, Christ is present. Christ gives faith that beautifulness. Faith is a gift. It's not taking comfort in your own living in faith, what you know yourself, how much you have strength to do yourself, but it is that what Christ is, what he has done in our behalf, that he looks at us with his merciful eyes. Christ came here into this world to taking the part of man, living in the pains and illnesses of our lives, a suffering death. And the Word of God opens that view. Taking comfort in Christ, one day they can join together and share that portion of Christ in rising up into heaven. That not to take your comfort in the strength of man. And that's why Paul says in this way, for whether we live unto the Lord, And whether we die unto the Lord. This means that all this weakness, this of life, in the midst of all these cares and fears of life, that love of Christ reaches and is always present. Christ is not far from you. He is close to you. He is your Savior. He lives in you, and you live and dwell in Him. And for this, of this life of Christ, and this work, and of His holy presence, it is, we sing in one hymn in this way. He is joy in the midst of tears. He is wiser than, richer than beggars. He is good in all death. Our Savior is near us today. He is in our midst. And He is calling unto Him to take comfort in Him. All you who feel distress, all those who seek the friendship of God, all who are thirsty, all who are under burdens of your conscience, traveling, all those who have cocooned into your hearts are ill, all meaning of life and directions asking, all ill, all small and all large, for everyone, Christ now will take into His comfort, into His bosom, and pull unto Him through love. The grace of God and the forgiveness of sins is free and flowing. He is a living spring, the spring of grace. And of that spring, we can dip joyfully and receive as a gift of God, believe sins forgiven in that fulfilling atoning work of Christ, in His name and His atoning blood. Beloved friend, look at Christ and be joyful and free, a child of God. And then at the end here, beloved friends, living for the Lord, living as one of for the Lord, living for others. Faith affects through love. Love and faith belong together. Without love, in faith, we can become hardened. Love without faith becomes closer to the law as a demanding. But faith and love belong together, they travel together. They are great matters, gifts of God. Have the feeling of life, believe in Christ, and love one another. For the atoning work of Christ is free to the child of God, but still it binds. This love guides to care for and to love all those small ones, even the most smallest, the most weak, the most who are distressed, depressed, ill, suffering, all who are tempted, all who have been handled wrong It opens your ears to listen to quiet words, quiet voices who have no power, no strength. This love of God guides all to this. Beloved friends, this epistle of Paul, this portion is so bright and wonderful, opens a wonderful viewpoint of the life of Christ. It is living for God, living for one another. Our portion here beneath the face of God is to await for goodness, to trust, to rejoice of this grace, to live in the goodness of God, and to be amazed by all that God has done in Christ in our behalf. When we take comfort in Christ and look at Him, we all have all that good that only God can give. Looking at the face of Christ, we can reach heaven. It is opened. The faith, the mind of faith, hope of the future, of this life and of eternal life. Beloved friend, remain in good comfort. Sins are forgiven because of Christ, in His name and atoning blood. Christ is close to you. He uplifts you and carries. Look upon Him. Take comfort in Him. Look at Christ and have a happy, a joyful and free mind. Looking at the face of Christ, we have hope and the way to heaven. How did Paul say? If we live for Christ, and if we die for Christ. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For that reason, for this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that He might be Lord both of the dead and the living. And here we say, Amen.